This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I am Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And Matt, the Steelers draft visits are completed.
Everybody, today's the last day, right?
Today is the last day.
Yep.
So today, they head in Junior Colson, the linebacker from
Michigan. Interesting.
They head in Penn State center Hunter Norzad.
Okay. That adds up for sure, even if he wasn't a close guy, which he doesn't count as the freebie visit, right?
I don't believe that he does.
I don't think, yeah.
Yeah. And then they also head in, and this is from the International Pathway Program, offensive tackle Travis Clayton, who's from England.
Okay. Yeah, that one I can't comment on.
Don't know anything about
it. Right.
Yeah. So if you look at the overall process here of who they have had in.
So it's been released, every team's visits, they're done. If you weren't in today, you can't come in again.
Right.
I mean, it's
That's
over.
Finished.
Yeah, that
yeah.
is done.
The guys that the Steelers have had in at the wide receiver position, it's been Adonai Mitchell.
Did Luke? You hear the news about him today?
No.
So Bob McGinn puts out something.
Yes, very good stuff.
Very good stuff. And the first of the 8-part series came out today. I subscribed. I'll send it to you. I haven't even opened it yet. But three different people told me in that report, Mitchell has a diabetes problem.
Ah.
That, and I'm getting this third-hand information. I have not yet read it. But it basically says, when my blood sugar is low, and it happens a lot during games, I have a hard time giving all effort. I'm very uncoachable, and I know it. And it's a problem for him, you know. And I know like Mark Andrews and some others have dealt with it and deal with it better, but it's an issue right now. I mean, I'm sure people want to get their hands on that and figure out how manageable it is.
Yeah. Luke McCaffrey.
Okay. He'd be a slot.
Malachi Corley.
He'd probably be both.
Taj Washington.
Mostly a slot, I'd say.
Mostly. And
yeah.
Xavier Leggett.
More of a downfield outside the numbers type, but yeah, good after the catch.
And Ricky Pearsall.
I think he's all the above.
So you have
a good group.
One first-round wide receiver.
Yeah, I think Mitchell's the only one you'd consider in the first.
Then you're looking at maybe Corley, Leggett, Pearsall as day two guys.
Agreed.
And then McCaffrey and Taj Washington more around four-ish.
Four or five,
yeah,
if you're lucky.
In that range.
Yeah, and they're the slots. I think that's not an accident that you're not looking at big prototypical X's in the fifth round neighborhood.
Right.
You're going to get those guys early.
Yeah.
Makes you think they might go for an outside physical die and a slot. Maybe.
Or they're looking day two, they're not really looking hard at a wide receiver in round one.
Agreed. Like if Brian Thomas Jr. would have been here, I would have been, not Jr., the second or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been more of a alarm bell. But I think Mitchell will go in the first round. The chances he ends up with Pittsburgh, probably slim.
Yeah. That may be one, too. I mean, it was interesting to me, and this may have just been coincidental, that the Adonai Mitchell meeting happened right after Stephon Diggs got traded to Houston.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Within days, like 2 days.
Hey, Buffalo, we might take your guy. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to come trade up?
Mm-hmm.
On the offensive line, a lot of guys. Graham Barton.
Makes all the sense in the world.
Mason McCormick.
Also makes all the sense in the world. Hey, how comfortable are you playing center?
Zach Frazier.
You're very comfortable playing center.
Yes. Tyler Guyton.
Okay. I mean, I think you just want to get to know him, work ethic, love of the game, same with Mims and that type of way.
Jackson Powers Johnson.
These are all the top centers in the draft.
Blake Fisher.
Yeah. I mean, he could be a second round, maybe sneak him in the third round option.
Steven Jones. That's the Oregon kid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know a ton about him, but he'd be a mid-rounder.
Matt Gonclaves.
Interesting. I like him more and more, too. I think he can play in the league. You might get him at somewhat of a discount this year.
Talisi Fuaga.
He'd be first-round mix, obviously.
Yeah. Travis Glover from Georgia State.
Interesting player, too. There's some moldable clay there. He's got a lot of traits. Maybe get him in the fifth round.
Yeah. Amarius Mims.
We know who he is, and he'd be a lot like Guyton.
Yeah. The linebackers, they only brought two linebackers, and they brought Peyton Wilson in and then Junior Colson.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. I mean, I guess if the price is right, they would pull the trigger on him. I don't want to look too much ahead of it and say that means Holcomb's not going to play for a long time,
right?
Because those guys would be, those guys are probably going around too.
Yeah, but if you may bring them in and say, well, you know, if something happened and they were available in round three,
yeah, there's probably they probably love the players.
Yeah,
I mean, when you could see why, I'm sure they want to do medical checks on Wilson like crazy, whether that's for now or when he hits free agency in 4 years or whatever. Yeah. But I don't know that either one will be a Steeler. That seems far-fetched, but there is a price you would pay for them, of course.
Defensive lineman, Christian Boyd.
We draft him all the time.
All
I
the
think
time.
He's a good fit, yeah.
Jaden Cremetti from Michigan State.
Mississippi
State, I should say.
Yeah.
He's a late-round, like, nose tackle type.
Nose tackle type.
Yeah. Logan Lee from Iowa.
He's not a nose tackle type. He's more the 3-4 DN, right?
Yeah. Masson Smith, same thing.
Sure. I'm sure you want to talk to him and medicals on him, too.
Braden Fisk?
That's a weird one for me, but he would be an end here, you know.
He's so active that I don't care that he does everything else that you want.
He's
from
the Energizer Bunny.
Right.
I mean, like, you know he's on the field.
Yeah. You watch Cam Hayward when he was still really athletic.
Young, yeah.
It's Braden Fisk. Making running around 10 yards downfield.
Right, right, right.
You're coming down just destroying the running back.
The energy he brings is very palatable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's real.
Western Michigan had him and Marshawn Nyland on the same defense.
Yeah, how about that? How about that? He's also older, though, but I mean, there's so many old prospects in this draft.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about that. Darius Robinson.
Okay. So if we talk about this on my podcast today, there's either 12 or 13 guys that are going to be at the draft.
Yeah, he's one of them.
He's one of them. He's the one that stood out. Like, is he a first rounder or not?
Now, some other guys turned them down.
Of course. Of course. I'm sure some would rather just be at home.
Yeah.
But you don't want a guy that's sitting around. I mean,
he's going to go in the first round.
He's going to go in the first round. Yeah. Mel Kiper said 100 times in a row, he's going in the first round. So if the Steelers are looking at him, it might be 20 or a trade down to get him.
Yeah. That's,
I don't see
he's
it.
He's in that range for them that they're just not going to be able to get him.
Mm-mm.
At cornerback, Cooper DeJean.
Of course. Yeah. We talked about that on Monday.
Beanie Bishop from West Virginia.
That's freebie, so you might as well check it out. Right.
Max Melton.
Makes all the sense in the world. That'd be a round two guy.
Nate Wiggins.
I don't know where he fits here. You know what I mean? Like, would it be bad to have an extra outside-only corner? Of course not. He's extremely talented, but he's not super physical. I mean, he is a little lighter. I like the player. It's just he's not slot versatile. You'd figure it out. But, I mean, there's a point you'd take him, but he wouldn't be in my top 20.
MJ Devonshire from Pitt. That was another local
freebie,
visit.
But he would also fit in.
Andrew Phillips from Kentucky.
He's like Melton.
And Daquan Hardy.
Okay. Do you agree Melton and Phillips are probably the most likely non-DeJean Steelers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you might have to, at this point, you might have to take them in round two.
I think Melton you have to, and Phillips is probably pretty darn close. I don't think you could wait around to the third round for him. They're both great testers, too.
Everything about this, Matt.
So Penix never came.
No, running back for Washington never happened. That stuff never happened. Again, that's why you don't listen to, well, so-and-so reporting that this guy is scheduled to visit.
Not before Wednesday, the cutoff day,
if they don't come in, I don't care what visit was scheduled. If they didn't come in, they weren't here.
Yeah, and maybe an agent put out and said 20 teams scheduled one.
Right.
And you figure, they must be one of them.
Which is probably where a lot of that kind of stuff is
coming from.
But I look at this, and outside of the tackles,
mm-hmm.
This screams trade down.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, I think you want to do all your homework on the Fuagas of the world, of course. Hey, we love you. If you're there, we're going to run to the podium. I hate to say this, and maybe it's just late in the process, you know, overthinking it. I'm not sure that the desired tackles are going to make it to 20.
I don't know. I don't think any of them are.
Yeah.
And I wonder.
And I'm not including Mims or Guyton. I'm talking about the Fatan who's.
Well, you mentioned Wiggins there as well. And I look at Wiggins and I look at Mitchell.
The smoke screens.
As guys that, hey, teams behind us, we're looking at these guys.
Maybe you
want to come up. If you really want this guy, you really want that 4-2-9 cornerback, you got to come up and get him. You really want this.
You mentioned the Bills with Mitchell. Maybe one of the Eagles could use a corner.
Somebody's really looking
Green
for an
Bay.
Outside corner. And, well, we don't know if
Pittsburgh must be interested.
Yeah, we don't know if DeJean, he might be a safety, he might be an outside. We really like Wiggins better.
Mm-hmm.
You better come up and get him.
Yeah. And again, I think the centers are mostly trade down, but you could live with them at 20. some of those other positions you mentioned too. Even like if you traded down far, I could take Pearsall at 30, you know, or something like that. I mean, remember I did my list. He was like at the bottom of it. I mean, but that was without all the edges and those type of things.
Well, I'd have some other guys I would take ahead of him at 30, but.
Probably.
I'd take Ladd McConkey at 30.
I'd have McConkey ahead of him.
Yeah.
Pearsall was right behind him on my list. He was ahead of like Franklin. Even Mims and Guyton could be trade down types.
Yeah.
You know, would you take him at 20 if you had to, but be better at 25?
Yeah. The whole thing with both of those two guys in particular, Mims and Guyton,
mm-hmm.
is that they're both right tackles.
Yeah.
And if you make that move, are they going to have enough snaps? Because now you're going to look at Broderick Jones, you can say, Broderick, okay, we drafted a right tackle, so we're going to move you to left tackle.
Yeah. Hope that you're the foundation.
And hope
there
you're the
forever.
Foundation. But Mike Tomlin has said, he's on record saying Dan Moore is a better left tackle than he is right tackle.
That's where it gets sticky, yeah.
And then what if these guys aren't ready to play at the start of the season?
I know. And that is definitely hairy for those two. They're way more talented than Dan Moore. I mean,
it doesn't mean they're going to be better on day one of the
no,
you know, September 8th or whenever the season opens.
But we did see some things with Broderick Jones, too. I mean, like, he learned in the fire. He wasn't a day one starter either. But some of these guys, and Jones is a good example, even when he was wrong, he was right because he was so talented.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, it's a leap of faith on both those guys. And
oh, by the way, you've got two quarterbacks now who take sacks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, without question. So they could do things off the charts. And it's a lot of pressure on your O-line coach, too. You know, like, you're turning a kindergartner into a high schooler overnight. You know, I mean, it's like, this is a big, strong kindergartner, but that's a lot. And
yeah.
It's not a knock on O-line coaches or whatever, but you're asking a lot from them. And it's a fun project. Every O-line coach would love to get Mims and Guyton and work with them, you know, of course.
But work with them.
But
not say, hey.
Here's a deadline.
Yeah. You're going to have this guy ready by, and you know, I don't know. I just, that's why.
I think Dylan Cook could do it for a month. That's what gets hairy about the whole thing.
Right.
Dan Moore's kind of in a tough situation. You know, if he really isn't very right tackle capable, there's only one spot on the line you can help me. I'm not saying he's not going to be here, but if you're set on having Broderick Jones as your left, what's Moore doing for
I don't
me?
Even
– You know what I mean?
I can't blame Dan Moore
not
for that,
all.
Though.
Not at all.
Because, as we've talked about before, his rookie year,
yeah,
the plan was to have him work on both sides.
Right. But then he became a little –
And then Zach Banner kept getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kept having to play him on the left side and left Chooks on the right side because Chooks was the incumbent starter on the right side.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, Dan Moore gets no snaps.
Yeah.
He got like two days worth of practice snaps on the right side. Last year, if you remember in training camp, he was taking basically a snap. They would do their first team reps.
Less than 1% of his snaps. Yeah.
At right tackle.
See, that's what I was about to say.
He just hasn't done it.
He hasn't done it. So if by chance you went the Guyton or Mims route, I think 30 seconds after that pick, you call Moore up and be like, you're now a right tackle.
You gotta start working on coming
right.
out of that stance.
We like your chance. Well, we like the chances of either you or first-round pick being able to adapt. One of them has no clue what he's doing but is super talented. One guy's been around the block but doesn't like the right side. You got 4 months to get it right, and the better guy wins.
It's a leap of faith,
though. It's scary, right.
It's a leap of faith. Is that a bigger leap of faith than going and taking Mason McCormick and saying, okay, you're a center?
I wish I knew more about that situation, because everyone that's in the know seems to think he's a center as he is a guard, even though he hasn't played it. I think it's less – I think McCormick's safer.
Because everybody who talks about the flip-flopping of sides on the line is
not fun
and it,
very unnatural.
Exactly. I mean,
I don't think guard to center is as unnatural, assuming he has some kind of center background,
right?
Where right to left, where you've practiced every minute of your life as a left, which also makes what Broderick Jones did even more impressive as a rookie.
Yeah,
I mean, he was playing left-handed, so to speak.
So I looked it up here with the guys who are currently on the Steelers roster. Nate Herbig has taken 49 snaps in game at center.
Yeah, I don't see him as the answer. I think he's a guard.
Isaac Seumalo has played 34 snaps at center. Both of those came for the Eagles.
Okay. I didn't know Solomalo ever even actually did it with snaps. Kelsey there. Yeah.
But he was a center in college.
I'd say I know he's capable.
He has done that.
Yeah.
James Daniels was also a center in college. He played 508 snaps at center in 2019 for the Bears.
Was that his rookie year?
That was his second year.
Okay, because I know they kind of flopped.
It's basically all he did. That's the only time he played center in the NFL.
So, I'd have to go back at his college snaps, but there were a lot.
And then you mentioned that Spencer Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
He played one game at Maryland at center.
At center. And he did some snapping here.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Did he play preseason snaps at center or not?
He did
I
a little bit,
remember.
Yeah. They were moving him all over the place pretty consistently.
Camp, he played everywhere.
Yeah. But that was get you out of the game stuff.
Oh, yeah. Again, there's some puzzle pieces that don't fit.
Yeah. But they have that flexibility. For one of those guys to move to play center, you're just, okay, you've done it before. You've got 4 months to do it. Let's get it ready to go.
Right. And if you're a Daniels or a Siamalu, you'd have to kind of agree to it. It's not just like we're just shoving you in there.
Yeah, you're the veteran guy. Right. You're the established
starter.
You're
good at what you did. We're giving you money.
But putting your best five on the field might entail one of those guys playing center.
Oh, I know. And I've said for a while, I think Daniels' best position is center, not by leaps and bounds, and Moore's best position might be guard. Well, that still leaves a huge hole at right tackle, though.
You know?
I mean, which you could find in the draft, or I hate to say something like sign a LaRaven Clark-like guy that's at least been around the block, but
or
that's pretty shallow.
You run your tackles back the way they were last year.
It's another option.
I mean, honestly, they're telling us here by what they did in the offseason, by letting Mason Cole go, and I understand tackles are harder to find.
Yeah.
But they didn't do anything with Dan Moore.
No. I was actually going to throw this out
Mason
there.
Mason Cole was worse than Dan Moore, point.
Too. I think so, too.
Last year.
So Dan Moore only has 1 year left on his contract.
Right.
I think you could get more for him than, like, the Dotson Green move.
He's a three-year starter.
But I don't want to trade him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it would have to be a pretty nice return.
I would have to get one of these top five guys in the draft.
And maybe have a veteran on speed dial that's going to make $4 million a year that at least doesn't stink. You know what I mean?
Where's your LaRaven Clark or something like that?
I mean, better than, but in that mold.
Somebody who's just a game day swing tackle.
But is someone going to give you enough for Dan Moore that you dump him? Because he's not like he's a huge contract saver either.
No, he's not costing you much.
Right. But there's some puzzle pieces there, but I'm curious how they all end up building the puzzle.
Yeah. It's just, it's very compelling.
Yeah, it is.
And it's all going to play out by what happens, well, next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are some center options, though. I mean, you just laid them all out, and Connor Williams is another.
And you might still have Connor Williams on speed dial. He's another guy that gives you that kind of flexibility. He's done both.
Yeah, and Daniels is up after this year as well.
And I go back to what Omar Khan said.
And Mason Cole's available.
He is.
You know.
Omar Khan at the Combine said, position flexibility always has been important to me. We have guys who are center capable, but that doesn't mean we aren't going to look at free agency, at the trade market, at the draft process. There are good players in every one of those areas. Position flexibility.
Yeah,
You look at those guys.
Coach Tomlin said that forever on the other line.
It screams Graham Barton.
It does.
It screams Graham Barton because he might be able to play right tackle for you. He might be your center.
I'd be uncomfortable with him at right tackle, but he could hold down the fort.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Or you put him at center, and if you have an injury, maybe then he kicks out. Maybe then Herbig is your center, and he kicks out the right tackle. I don't know. I'm just saying that that position flexibility is something.
It is important.
They have obviously targeted Herbig in the last 2 years that they've signed. Herbig, Daniels, Siamalu, guys who play multiple positions, that's what they've targeted.
Yeah. I don't know if they've ever had intentions for Siamalu or Daniels to play center, though. Daniels, to me, is much more...
Well, they signed Cole at the same time that they signed Daniels.
Yeah,
so,
I think the Herbig thing...
And Cole had played both. He had played guard and center, but he felt he was better at center than he was guard.
So back to about 5 minutes ago, rewind. I also think it's better in this draft to go fishing for centers than guards.
Yeah.
I mean, you could get some position versus... There's some overlap there.
Yeah.
The center group's better than the guard group.
Yeah.
Like if you were to say, hey, Daniels, you're a center. Well, now you need a guard.
Even Norzad, who they brought in today, played guard. He played center.
Yeah. Right. But I could live with Norzad as a fourth-round pick and be in the mix as my opening day starter.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what happens if you draft one. You draft a tackle in the first round. Then you're in the those later
the
on.
Norzad
then you're,
move.
Then
yeah.
you're playing that fourth round mm-hmm. if you don't get Frazier.
Most likely,
which
yeah.
you probably won't in the
probably
second
not,
round.
Right. And would you go back-to-back O lineman?
That would be tough.
It'd be tough with the receiver.
You're going to pass on
a
receiver.
Right
yeah.
yeah. That's hairy. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get to a break. He is the Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
Here we go, Steelers! Here we go! This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And Matt, looking here on NFL.com, Bucky Brooks has updated his top five.
Oh, did it good.
At each player position here. Let's go ahead and take a look at what Bucky now has here. At quarterback, his rankings are Caleb Williams,
okay.
Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix
bumping up
a spot.
I say this is pretty chalky, but okay.
Ahead of J.J. McCarthy, who bumped down a spot.
Okay. I do see why people like Penix. I have some reservations, though. I mean, there's some things he does really well, but there's also some things that the numbers kind of hide. Like, I don't think he's as accurate as given credit for. I mean, he makes a lot of high difficulty throws, but he also is not a pinpoint placement guy. He ran a great 40, but he doesn't play like an athlete or an improv guy. And then the interesting thing
about people said about C.J. Stroud, too. And
yeah, well, that's a good point. I mean, yeah. it's great to know he can.
Right.
You know,
right. He's got that in his,
yeah.
in his back pocket.
He got that.
I'd rather have that club in my bag than not.
Yeah. I mean, is that his style? It wasn't Stroud's either, but at least you have it.
He might be running like that if he's being chased by T.J. Watt.
Yeah. So the other thing, too, everyone's so big on pressure to sack ratio. That's like the hottest metric of the year all of a sudden. And he's the best by far in the league with it. But I saw someone take it to a next level and said, okay, so he doesn't take sacks when he's pressured, but he's the worst guy of all these in terms of production when pressured.
Yeah.
So, okay, he didn't take a sack. He didn't take a negative, but he didn't turn into anything good either.
You know? I think that can get better.
Yeah. I mean, sacks are terrible.
Not taking the sack is a big part of,
right.
like, you're not taking the negative play. You just throw the ball away.
Where the Calebs know. Of the world, they may take some sacks, but then they also abuse pressure when they are under pressure.
Yeah. He's keep an eye on his Bo Nix. No real surprise there. That's the top six guys. At running back, he has Jonathan Brooks 1.
I'm leaning that way, too.
Trey Benson 2.
I think they're the top 2.
Jalen Wright 3.
Different style, but sure.
Blake Corum 4. Will Shipley 5. That's unchanged.
Shipley doesn't do it for me, but there's also not a ton of candidates there that I'd be doing cartwheels over.
Just keep an eye on his Bucky Irving.
Okay. I like I like Estime a lot.
There's a lot of specialty backs.
Those last two are real just like pass catcher types.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a great class.
At wide receiver, he has Marvin Harrison, Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, Keon Coleman is his 5. He bumped Thomas up a spot, moved Coleman down.
I think the top 4 are pretty easy. I'm surprised he didn't have Thomas higher.
Yeah.
From the start, but Coleman's got a lot of mixed opinions too.
Now that's just his outside; those are his wide receivers. He designates slot receivers
okay,
as well.
Okay,
so it's a little different. But those are, I mean, if we're looking just at the top pure outside receivers,
see, I think Coleman's a big slot though. Is the best way to use like a Marquise Colston type, like a bigger Juju.
I could use him outside the numbers though.
You can. I mean, he's big.
Yeah,
but he's not as great at getting off press man.
I don't care because he just goes up and beats people up to go get the football. He will play above the rim.
Oh, and there's no question about that.
Just keep an eye on his Troy Franklin.
Okay. I do think he's more outside than slot, even though he's small.
His slot receivers, top 5. Ladd McConkey, who I think can play outside.
Too. Yeah, there's going to be overlap.
Ricky Pearsall.
I think he also does both very well.
Roman Wilson.
I think he's a pure slot.
Malachi Corley.
Better from the slot. I mean...
And Malik Washington. Malik Washington, to me, There's some Steve Smith in his game.
I'm a fan. I think
he is a tough and little dude.
He's also got the kind of wider. He breaks tackles.
Like he's
attacks a
football. He's just a shade under 5'9", but he's like 195 pounds.
And he has long arms. Yeah. I think he's a really good player. He's coming off a great year.
And he's keep an eye on is Jacob Cowling out of Arizona.
Another route runner type.
Yeah. His tight ends. Brock Bowers, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Jatavion Sanders. Cade Stover. Theo Johnson, A.J. Barner. That's unchanged.
Pretty chalky, yeah. I mean, they're not real exciting.
Keep an eye on Ben Sinnott.
That's a name people are excited about. Yeah. He tested really well. They kind of see some use check type, you know, H-back stuff in there. And I can see it.
Okay, now we're getting into the interesting stuff here. Offensive tackles. He has Alt number one. He has Fuaga number two.
Wow.
Fashanu. Or Fashanu. I can't get used to saying Fashanu.
I said everyone's kind of changed their names too, as if they weren't hard enough to be going.
He's at three. He's got Latham at four, up a spot.
And he'd then be my two.
And then he has Mims down a spot to five. So
he doesn't have Penn State on there. No, he's Fashanu. He doesn't have Fatanu. He must call McGarry.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of Fs.
No, I know. And they're not easy ones.
So he's calling him a guard. He's better than Mims.
I think so too. I think it's cheating to put him at guard.
I think
because then it's just too easy to rank him. Right?
Yeah. His keep an eye on. Well, no, he doesn't because he's keep an eye on is Troy Fatanu.
Oh, okay. So he did not have him in the top five. Well, I give him credit for at least calling him a tackle.
Yeah.
I very much believe
that. That being said, he's a tackle and he's better than Mims.
I think so. I think he might even be two on that list.
Yeah.
I like him more than Fuaga.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interior blockers. Graham Barton.
Yeah, him and Powers Johnson are close for me, but
Powers Johnson is two.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Haynes is three.
Solid.
Cooper Beebe four.
Short arms, but gets away with it. Really good athlete too.
Zach Zinter five.
I would have Frazier probably third.
His keep an eye on is Javian Cohen. Mm-hmm. So Frazier didn't make his list.
Okay. I don't understand why. I mean, center only, but that's not enough for me.
Edge defenders. He's moved Latu up to number one.
Good. I think he's clearly the best football player.
Dallas Turner bumps down to number two. Jared Verse is three. Chop Robinson, four. Braylon Trice, five.
So I guess he's not calling Darius Robinson a edge.
Which I would. That's cheating, too.
Yeah, right. Who's this keep an eye on?
Chris Braswell.
I wish his keeping eye ons were a little deeper.
Yeah,
they're all like second round pick.
Right. And maybe he's saying keep an eye on them because they could
jump into the
first round or something.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, they will be in the first round.
Yeah.
Defensive tackles. He's got Byron Murphy now number one. Jerzon Newton two.
Okay.
Down a spot. Chris Jenkins three. Darius Robinson four. Brandon Dorius bumps into his top five.
Everyone says he's going in the second round. Him and Robinson, though, are both, tweener's a bad word, but not typical D tackles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He dropped Tavondre Sweat out,
I think
is going to be.
I don't know if he'll go in the second day.
And his keep an eye on is Leonard Taylor from Miami.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he has some Mason Smith-like traits.
Yeah. Linebackers. He's got Peyton Wilson now number one. Edgerrin Cooper moves down to number two. Junior Colson up two spots to number three.
Yeah, they're the standalone three for me.
Yeah. Then Jeremiah Trotter moves down a spot to four. Cedric Gray moves down a spot to five.
Trotter could be that guy that goes like in the fourth round. Everyone's like, what's up with him? Well, he's a little short and he's not a very good athlete.
Yeah. You know? Other than that,
I mean, Aaron,
he's a good blitzer.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of plug and play, but he is what he is.
His keep an eye on is Marist Liafu from Notre Dame.
Notre Dame kid.
At cornerback, another one that's interesting here. Quinyon Mitchell moves up to number one.
In a generic rating, I could understand that 100%.
Terrion Arnold bumps down to number two.
Okay.
Nate Wiggins, three. Kool-Aid McKinstry, four. Enos Rakestraw, five. So he's calling DeGene a safety.
Yeah, apparently.
That's
which I don't know if that's cheating or not. That's not as Fatanu-ish.
Well, I think he did slot corners as well. So he broke
maybe
this down.
Maybe he's in one slot.
Yeah, he could be.
Okay. Just keep an eye on
In fact,
it.
If I remember right, he might have been the last time we did this.
But, okay.
When you look at the top of this cornerback board, I kind of, outside of Mitchell and Arnold, I kind of like the day two guys better.
Yeah, see, I don't love what you have to pay for those guys.
I mean, McKinstry would be fine.
Yeah. If I'm the Lions at the end of round one and I'm trying to win right now, But I'd rather spend 40 picks later on Melton.
Right. Yeah. Keep an eye on Renardo Green from Florida State.
That's a good one. I thought if he does do slots, I think he's more of a slot, but that's okay.
Yeah, he's played outside. He's nickel corners. He's got Cooper DeJean one.
Nice.
Saint Estrell two.
True slot, yeah.
Max Melton three.
Okay.
Kamari Lassiter four. Daquan Hardy five.
Huh. That's nice on Hardy.
Yeah.
Would you take him? I can't use a third round pick on him, I don't think.
No.
Early day three, though.
If you're taking a pure slot like that, like the thing about like Melton or Drew Phillips, they could play outside.
Yeah, they're going to do a lot.
Same thing with DeJean.
Sure.
Hardy, I don't know he can play outside in the NFL. He's going to be a pure slot.
Right. I think he's a gunner slot only. And that's, to me, a day three pick.
Yeah.
Early, but.
Early day three, yeah. He's keep an eye on the other Florida State corner, Jerrion Jones.
I like that group. I like the BC kid. I mean, like you said, there's a lot of these slot. It sure seems like Phillips and Melton are going to be pricey, that group. But there's four or five others that would do the trick, you know, that you don't have to break the bank on.
It's safety. He's unchanged. Tyler Newbin. He's got Javon Bullard, two. Kalen Bullock, three. Cameron Kitchens, four. Tyke Smith, five. So he's not jumping on the Bishop train.
Hmm. We don't ever talk about that group all that much, but Bullard's a really good player.
Yeah.
I just want to give him credit. He does a lot of stuff well.
Well, and just keep an eye on is Cole Bishop.
Okay. So, I can see someone getting very enamored with Bishop.
He does a lot of good stuff.
He does a lot of good stuff, yeah.
Yeah. That is Bucky Brooks.
I don't have much argument with that.
Top five guys at each position there. I like how he breaks that down into slot receivers and slot cornerbacks because these are essentially starters.
Oh, yeah. And they are a little different. You know, I mean, you're going to view them differently. There are some like a Melton that could be in both, and, you know, some of the receivers could be in both.
I wish, and I do this when I break things down, give me 3-4 defensive ends versus 4-3 defensive tackles.
Yeah.
Those are different positions.
They are, but less than they used to be. I mean,
but I still don't want a 6 foot
nose is a lot different.
Yeah, I don't want a 6'2", 330-pound defensive end in a 4'3", or 3'4", I should say.
No, I hear you. And again, like the 340-pound nose isn't for every team either.
No,
I mean, that's for sure. No, I mean, the whole front seven gets a little convoluted. Well, the whole front defensive line too.
Yeah, I mean, and even edges when you know when people call Darius Robinson an edge, well, he looks a lot different from.
TJ.
Pick a guy.
Yeah, right. I mean, without question.
Chop Robinson.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you look like you play the same position, the same position.
And they don't. I mean, that's the thing is they won't be for everybody either. You know what I mean? Like Robinson to me is a niner where you just beat people like an Eric Armstead type or a Raven where those move him around a ton. I mean, the Steelers would be fine too. I mean, I don't think he's a one for one for Cam Hayward.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want him to – I mean, Cam moves into the nose and he things could. Like that. But I mean,
here's the thing, though. He's 285 pounds.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he could get to 295.
I think back to when they drafted Brett Kiesel or Aaron Smith. Those guys were 285-pound athletes.
I think Smith
athletes.
Was actually a lot lighter.
They were
I think
athletes.
He was like 260 or something. Yeah.
You want a big athlete that you think has a frame that can handle getting up to –
Especially the way the D-line's constructed now and then. I mean, Kiesel and Smith were not day one starters or ever thought to be. You know, they were projects that fit the mold that will bulk up and learn. And I think that's where – I mean, if the Steelers ended up with Robinson, would he play more or less snaps than Benton did last year?
Less, because they had an injury in front of Benton.
Benton didn't play a ton.
You would hope but he played – he was – right around 50%, though, you know.
When it was all said and done.
When it was all said and done.
That's what I was kind of thinking was, would he be a 50% player?
I don't think he would because they've got better depth ahead of him now because they have Benton.
Yeah, but injuries will occur, of course. Yeah. But I would think you'd want less than 50%.
Yeah.
But the only way you get them, though, is at like 25, 26, 27, you know, in that neighborhood.
And do you want a 50% player?
As your first rounder, right?
Yeah. I mean, Cam Hayward didn't barely play at all his first 2 years. People were talking about him as a bust.
Right. It's interesting. I mean, and the guys ahead of him would be good, obviously. Yeah. I mean, assuming, I mean, Ogunjobi would be in the mix, Benton would be in the mix. I mean, at best, he's your fourth D lineman as a rookie first round type pick. I don't know that I could go there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it's him versus Barton.
Right.
Or, you know,
somebody's
like
going to play a lot right away.
Yeah, you'd love to have him. You'd love to groom him, but it's a lot to ask.
Yeah. Let's get to another break. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back to finish up hour number one right after this.
Here we go, Steelers! Here we go! This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Gear up with the latest sideline apparel, hats or jerseys of your favorite players, authentic memorabilia, custom items, and exclusives you can only find directly from the team at one of the official Steelers Pro Shops. They're located at Acrisure Stadium, Grove City Premium Outlets, or Tanger Outlets, or visit online at shop.steelers.com. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally, and this is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. And Matt, on the 33rd team, Jeff Diamond, former NFL executive. He put together a list of 9 candidates who should be traded during the 2024 NFL draft.
I bet there's quite a few. I missed this one. That's interesting to me.
His first guy is Zach Wilson with the Jets.
I mean, you're going to get like a 6th-round pick or something, but somebody that had a decent grade on him, you know.
You missed out on a quarterback earlier. Hey, we just need to develop. We need a guy.
We need a guy. Come in here. Maybe you can rejuvenate your career, but that would be good for everybody.
His next guy on here, Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me either.
If the Saints could easily draft a running back here.
They drafted Kendre Miller last year.
Maybe they draft Jalen Wright and just replace a Tennessee guy.
That would make sense because, I mean, they have always his cap problems. He's not cheap. He came in and he did some good things off his suspension last year, but all in all, as a ball carrier, he dwindled quickly. He wouldn't cost much.
Yeah.
I mean, could the Bills add him to the equation or somebody like that?
They'd almost have to eat
a big chunk.
I mean, yeah, you're gonna have to eat some of that contract to get rid of him because nobody's going to pay him $19 million.
No, it's nuts. I wonder if he's even a cap casualty.
Maybe, if they do draft him.
June 1st or whatever, you know.
Brandon Ayuk.
It sounds great. I mean, he's a phenomenal player. I just don't want to give him up from the Niners.
Unless something, let's say, for example, they get to the end of the first round and Donnie Mitchell is there or Brian Thomas is there for them. Well, then I could see them saying, okay, we're going to draft this guy and move on from Ayuk.
Or that, you know, Thomas is there when the Jags pick at 17 and they take 17 and send them
Swap
Ayuk.
Them, yeah.
You know what I mean? I understand it.
That could be something.
But it makes you a lesser football team this year, any way you cut it. But he's going to be expensive. I mean, he's going to be very expensive. He's going to make more than Devontae Smith did.
Yeah, his fifth-year option is $14.1 million.
That's a bargain.
That's a bargain. But he wants a new deal.
27-ish, probably. Yeah. Right. Which I think he's worth. Like, to be honest, if the Steelers traded for him, the contract stuff doesn't worry me as much as the compensation.
Yeah.
You know, and the combination of both is an issue. But he's worth the money.
T. Higgins.
I could see it.
I think for the same reason that I don't know that Ayuk gets traded. I don't think Higgins gets traded because they're in it to win it this year.
I think so, too. They're just a more frugal organization than San Fran, less likely to push their chips in, and they have Chase's contract coming up where Debo's is already in place. I always think of, like, the Patriots. If I am going to take a quarterback at 3... how about my second-round pick to Higgins or next year's second for Higgins? And another situation. But the only way I'm moving him is if Brian Thomas is there at 18.
Yeah.
You know, then you just swap those guys out.
I think if I'm the Bengals, though, I want something this year. I'm not trading him for a pick next year. I could just wait and do that and get a third next year. Mm-hmm. And, okay, it's a round later, but.
Or if the Giants go quarterback.
Doesn't help me win this year.
would you take, you know, take an early second from the Giants or Patriots? It's not bad. Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, that's better than what you'll get a year from now.
Right.
Especially if Thomas or somebody lands in your lap at 18.
Without a doubt. Rashad Bateman.
Wow. Huh.
He's 24.
Yeah. I don't think his
hasn't
song's
done a lot.
Written yet.
Yeah.
But yeah. I can see them kind of being upset with him.
Yeah, he hasn't done much.
It's almost fifth-year option time, which seems amazing.
He had 32 catches for 367 yards last year. That ranks sixth on the team in both categories.
But where does that leave you at receiver besides Zay Flowers?
Well, they're probably going to draft another one.
I would think, no matter what.
Yeah.
They have a lot of needs, too. What are you going to get back for him? Fifth?
A fifth, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. He's making first-round money. He'd make some cap space, but I don't know about that.
You're not going to pick up his option.
He'd have to have a great year.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not.
And it's that time. I mean, you know, if you're not going to pick up his option.
Those guys go pretty cheap.
You know, now you're looking at the Patrick Queen situation again here. So if you don't pick up the option and he goes out and plays well in 2023 or 2024,
he
I should
to play
say.
Really well to deserve a receiver fifth-year option.
But it's already out. You can't do it at that
point.
Well,
you can't do it.
So
that point,
he's right. Gone either way.
Mm-hmm.
You either don't want him around after the year four because you didn't pick up the fifth-year option and he hasn't been good enough, or you know, you pick up the fifth-year option, but
and he's good,
and he's you know,
or yeah,
or it's a no-win situation for the team.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well trade him.
I guess.
Are you telling me you can't find a rookie in this year's draft that can get 32 catches for 367 yards?
Yeah, but I think he's worth more than a sixth. The same conversation with Higgins and Ayuk, too. Like, I'm trying to win the Super Bowl this year. Sixth-round pick, fifth-round pick doesn't get me there as much as Bateman does.
Your sixth-round pick might be Puka Nacua.
It might, but I'll bank on Bateman.
It might be Antonio Brown.
Pick, right. They have a lot of needs. I still want to create another one if I'm that.
I mean, they know way more about Bateman than anybody else.
Yeah, and I bet they don't love him right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing to hang your hat on with what he's done in the pros.
And they may look at it and say, we need to get Isaiah Likely more in the field. We might do
I think that's coming.
Yeah,
I think there'll be more 12.
Yeah, 12.
I think that's definitely coming.
So.
Yeah, sneaky one. I never thought about it.
Treylon Burks, another one of those guys.
That one I've been asked about a bunch.
Yeah.
He's been so miscast. I never loved him coming out of Arkansas because he's kind of gadgety. But they tried to make him a number one, line up at X outside the numbers and run big boy routes. That's not what he is. And he failed. And then he's been hurt. And then they have no line. Then they have bad quarterbacks. I would take it. I'll give you a fifth round pick for him. And I'd use him as a power slot.
Yeah.
You know, that's what
Which is what he
be.
Is.
That's what
he
should be. Closer to the ball. Big body guy. Get him the ball quick. That interests me. I mean, as a buyer.
Yeah.
And I can see them moving on for him for sure.
Oh, yeah.
They just spent big money on two receivers.
On the defensive side of things, well, here he is again, Buda Baker. We're in this situation last year.
Right, right. He's expensive.
He's
good, and he's on a bad team.
Patrick Surtain. You're giving up two first-round picks to get Patrick Surtain.
I would think. I think we've had this conversation, but if a genie came out of the bottle and said, hey, Matt, you could be the GM of any team in the league, the Broncos would be my last choice. I mean, I think they're a total disaster.
That's why they should trade Pat.
I say I need to blow it up.
Anybody that I can get stuff for.
That's what I mean.
Everything must go. There are no players on my roster that I look at and say, I can't trade him.
They don't have a second-round pick this year?
Yeah.
I mean, so Russell Wilson and Sean Payton are costing them three firsts and 3 seconds. And they don't have a quarterback.
They don't have a quarterback.
They have a coach, but they have, like, nothing else. Even, like, Garrett Bowles is up after the year. Like, I think I would not want to be that GM at all. They're not in a position for striking distance for a quarterback this year. They don't have the second to go get a Knicks, you know, in the second round. Give me the most I can get out of Surtain. Trade Bowles for the most I can get. I mean, they should clean house completely. And remember at the trade deadline, everyone thought, oh, they're going to clean everything out. They should have, and they didn't.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah. I mean, you could get at least a first for Surtain.
Yeah.
More than, probably.
How about this one? And he won't be coming to Pittsburgh, but this is interesting. Greg Newsome with the Browns.
He's always been miscast as a slot.
He's only 23 years old.
He's a good player, too.
Yeah.
Why do they want to trade him? Because they don't pick a fifth-year option?
They're going to be $52 million over the cap.
Yeah, they got that stuff coming up, right.
And they're not going to be able to afford to pay him. His fifth-year option next year will be $13.4 million, basically.
Yeah. They could survive without
him. For your slot?
Yeah, for a slot that could be doing more. Yeah, maybe. I didn't think about him and Bateman in the division as guys that could go. They're the same draft class, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That fifth-year option's looming at expensive positions. Yeah, maybe.
So, I mean, with of those guys, obviously, you know, a lot of people have talked about the Steelers and Ayuk.
Yeah.
Obviously, Kamara, you're not going to be interested in Wilson.
I mean, frankly, if Higgins was in another division, I'd at least be calling.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, there's no chance that happens.
That's not going to happen.
We don't even talk about it because I think there's a 0% chance.
Yeah. I don't think there's much of a chance that Ayuk gets traded, unless, of course, the Steelers did what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You take...
I mean, he could play hardball and demand the trade and all that stuff, and you would have suitors. Like, I don't know if the Bills could afford him.
Would you take a Donnie Mitchell at 20?
Or Ayuk at 20 in the contract?
And trade him for Ayuk.
I might do that if I'm both teams. For the Steelers, I'd rather have Ayuk in a $27 million contract than Mitchell. If I'm the Niners, I might rather have Mitchell and not a $27 million contract.
That would be one way to do that.
In that neighborhood, right. He's still sitting there at 20, and they love him. Maybe. But then you don't have a tackle. I mean,
then you're not getting one of the tackles. You're not getting the center.
Love the idea of using a first-round pick on a receiver, period.
Right.
You know, we talked about that in segment one. But he's pretty special. I mean, Nico Collins and Tyreek Hill were the only two that had better yards per route run. He's gotten better every year. I think he's 24. Is that what you said?
No, he's 26.
26, okay. I think he's a top 10 receiver. But I hate buying them twice.
Yeah.
You know, picks and money. Although the receivers have worked out better than other positions.
But if you've already spent the pick on a receiver, you're getting a better receiver.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, without question. A name I threw out is Courtland Sutton. Because I think you'd get him really cheap. And my logic is, can I get Courtland Sutton for like a fifth-round pick? And the Denver clean house conversation we had about Surtain. And it wouldn't even change my draft plan. It would be picking Sutton, Pearsall, Corley, somebody like that would be my receiver room. Now, his contract won't be super friendly. I assume that's what you're looking up
here. That's what I'm looking up. Yeah, here's why I'm not interested in that. You paying Courtland Sutton $13 million?
Maybe. I don't think he's great.
I'm not super. He's
I wouldn't buy him on the free agent market.
He'll also be 29 this season.
I know. He's not. He's inconsistent.
He's not young.
I mean, I'm hoping he would
he's
be
been
my
injury,
two.
He had injury stuff.
Oh, I know. But he'd be my two that I hope to draft past him as a three. Overspend a little bit. Kind of like you did Allen Robinson, but you'd have to eat more of this. I mean, I'm talking about like a fifth-round pick or later.
Yeah. He's also got a...
Is he up after this year?
Yeah, he's up after 2025. He's also got a per-game active bonus of basically $30,000 per game, which is an extra $500,000. So,
yeah,
now you're talking...
I mean, I don't love the player,
$13.5 million for Courtland Sutton. I'll go fish.
Yeah. I have mixed feelings on that. I mean, it'd have to be a very cheap pick. I mean,
it'd have to be very cheap.
Yeah,
then I might be interested, but...
And maybe they inherit $5 million of it or something. I don't love the player, but... Running out of options.
Again,
I'd like to have a veteran.
At $13 million, now the Steelers have $11 million in cap space right now, as we sit here. They got to pay for the rookie class.
Yeah.
So now
I'm
you're
not worried about Steelers cap space, though. They can make more.
They can make more, but now you're kicking the can down the road for Courtland Sutton? That I'm not into. Connor Williams? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, that's apples and oranges.
That's
right.
You're not getting your center. You know, we don't know that they got the center taken care of in the draft. And I'm going to trade for Courtland Sutton. That eats up all that cap space. Now I got to create additional cap space to, you know, sign my draft picks, have my $5 or $6 million to take into the season.
Oh yeah, yeah. Maybe add other things too. Goldens of the world and
Joe Hayden becomes available in training camp.
Yeah.
Or
bring Roe back.
Last year,
or
you know,
like
they signed Kwon Alexander in training camp. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a pretty, you know, at the time a pretty
good
signing.
Small potatoes, but I mean, the cap situation doesn't worry me that much. I think they have a lot of cap flexibility. I mean, do I want to use it all on Sutton? No.
I just don't know that Courtland Sutton makes them a Super Bowl contender.
No, but I can't live with what they have there now, even if they added Pearsall in the second round.
I think they had two in the draft.
I think they probably will, as it stands now. I think you almost have to. Yeah.
And I don't know, again, I think their number two pass catcher is on the roster already. That's Pat Freiermuth.
Mm-hmm.
I think he gets used more this year. I think all the tight ends get used more this year.
Yeah.
And B, I don't think they throw the ball as much. They're going to run the ball down people's throats.
They ran the ball a lot last year, too.
I think they run it more.
I do. I do, too. But I can't live with Pickens and a bunch of fours and a second and fifth round rookie. That's just not good enough in the NFL.
Yeah. I hear you.
And I'm not saying Sutton's a superstar, but he's a starter.
Yeah.
I mean, he's better than Boyd. You know, those type of guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, that type of stuff. Oh, yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah.
I mean, Sutton at $13 million is certainly better than Boyd at $8 million.
Yes, definitely agree on that. Right, even if it costs you a six-round pick or whatever, who cares? You know?
Yeah.
No, I'm just trying to dig for names. Godwin's another name I keep looking at. I mean, Davante Adams. I mean, there's...
Somebody's going to become available after this draft.
Yeah.
That you didn't think, because, boy, with such and such team drafted this receiver, and all of a sudden they want to distance themselves from...
There's a lot that could go down that road. What if Dallas takes one high and they want to move Brandon Cooks?
Yeah.
Or, you know, because they're going to pay CeeDee Lamb. Or, I mean, there's a lot of those type of dudes, you know, that you'll get cheaper after the fact.
Yeah. Mm. Anyways, let's get to another break. That's going to do it for hour number one of the drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with hour number two right after this.